How to Avoid Depressions, Foster Saving and Investment by Frank Shostak, an Audio Mises Wire narrated by Michael Stack. In his writings, the leader of the monetarist school of thinking, Milton Friedman, blamed central bank policies for causing the Great Depression of the 1930s. According to Friedman, the Federal Reserve failed to pump enough reserves into the banking system to prevent a collapse of the money stock. Because of this, Friedman held, the M1 money stock, which stood at $26.34 billion on March 1930, fell to $19 billion by April 1933, a decline of 27.9%. According to Friedman, as a result of the collapse in the money stock, economic growth also dropped off. By July 1932, industrial production had fallen by over 31% year on year. Also, year on year, the Consumer Price Index, CPI, had plunged. By October 1932, the CPI had declined by 10.7%. A closer examination of the historical data showed that the Fed was actually pursuing very easy monetary policy in its attempt to revive the economy. The Fed's holdings of U.S. government securities depict the extent of the monetary injections. On October 1929, holdings of U.S. government securities stood at $165 million. By December 1932, these holdings had surged to $2.432 billion, an increase of 1,374%. Also, the three-month Treasury bill rate fell from almost 1.50% on April 1931 to 0.4% by July 1931. Another indication of the Fed's loose monetary stance was the widening differential between the yield rates on the 10-year Treasury bond and the three-month Treasury bill. The differential increased from 0.04% in January 1930 to 2.80% by September 1931. The sharp fall in the money stock during 1930 to 33 does not indicate that the Federal Reserve did not try to pump money. Instead, the decline in the money stock came because of the shrinking pool of savings brought about by the previous loose monetary policies of the Fed. The yield curve between 1920 and 24 reveals this easy stance by the Fed. The yield spread increased from minus 0.67% in October 1920 to 2% by August 1924. The reversal of this stance by the Fed, which saw the yield spread decline from 2% in August 1924 to minus 1.45% by May 1929, finally burst the monetary bubble. In addition to this, at some periods the monetary injections were nothing short of massive, contradicting Friedman's claim. For instance, the yearly growth rate of M1 increased from minus 12.6% in September 1921 to plus 11% by January 1923, and then from minus 0.4% in February 1924, the yearly growth rate accelerated to plus 9.8% by February 1925. Such large monetary pumping amounted to a massive exchange of nothing for something. The large monetary pumping resulted in the diversion of wealth from wealth generators to various non-productive activities that emerged on the back of loose monetary policy. This wealth diversion resulted in the depletion of the pool of savings. The pool of savings comprises final consumer goods. As long as the pool of savings is expanding and banks are eager to expand credit, various non-productive activities can continue to prosper. Whenever the extensive generation of credit out of thin air increases the pace of wealth consumption above the pace of wealth production, the flow of savings is arrested, and a decline in the pool of savings is set in motion. Consequently, the performance of various activities starts to deteriorate, and banks' bad loans start to pile up. In response to this, banks curtail their lending out of thin air, setting in motion a decline in the money stock. Note that the pool of savings is the heart of economic growth, sustaining various individuals that are employed in the various stages of production. Contrary to popular thinking, money as such has nothing to do with the economic growth. It only fulfills the role of medium of exchange. After growing by 2.7% year-on-year in January 1930, bank loans had fallen by a massive 29% by March 1933. Now, when loaned money is fully backed by savings, on the day of the loan's maturity, it is returned to the original lender. Thus, Bob, the borrower of $100, will pay back the bank on the maturity date the borrowed sum plus interest. The bank, in turn, will pass to Joe, the lender, his $100 plus interest, adjusted for bank fees. The money makes a full circle and goes back to the original lender. In contrast, credit generated out of thin air that is returned to the bank on the maturity date results in the withdrawal of money from the economy, that is, to a decline in the money stock. The reason for this is that there was no original saver/lender, since this credit was generated out of thin air. Again, savings did not support the credit being extended here. Observe that economic depressions are not caused by the collapse in the money stock, but come in response to a shrinking pool of savings on account of the previous monetary pumping. A decline in the money stock is just the result of the fall in the pool of savings, and the decline in this pool, due to the previous easy monetary policy of the central bank, reflects a weakening in the process of wealth generation. Consequently, even if the central bank were to be successful in preventing the decline of the money stock, this could not prevent the economic depression if the pool of savings is declining. In addition, even if loose monetary policies were to succeed in raising prices and inflationary expectations, this could not revive the economy as long as the pool of savings remains under pressure. Those commentators who are of the view that by means of monetary pumping one can prevent economic depressions hold that this pumping is going to strengthen aggregate demand, and that with the increase in demand, aggregate supply will follow suit. However, without an expanding pool of savings that enhances and strengthens the infrastructure, it is not possible to increase the supply of goods and services. It is not possible to make something out of nothing. Contrary to the popular thinking, economic depressions are not caused by a strong decline in the money stock, but are rather the result of a depleted pool of savings. This depletion emerges because of the previous loose monetary policies. A tighter monetary stance arrests the depletion of the pool of savings, thereby laying the foundation for an economic recovery. For more content like this, visit Mises.org.